I want us to turn tonight to Acts chapter 27 and begin reading in verse number 21. And I want us to understand what it means to believe in God. To believe God. We'll talk about the difference, Lord willing, here in just a minute or two. We're going to read from Acts chapter 27, and if you found verse 21, here's what it says. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Excuse me, I thought I went. It didn't win. Let me try again. Somebody reach over and smack that thing upside the head.
Is everything on?
Yeah, it's on. Reach over and punch a down arrow on that computer, if you would, please. Maybe that'll kickstart everything for us. Down arrow, over on the right-hand side.
It's running, a time is running.
Oh, yeah? You know what? Stop. No, that's not it. Hit the escape key and then start it again. It's not going to go. Something's got a hold of my computer. Maybe it'll wake up pretty soon. You keep playing with it, brother, and I'll keep preaching. How's that? You're going to be our IT guy tonight and get that thing fixed, okay? We're going to read from Acts chapter 27. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Paul said, "I believe God." Okay, in the upper left-hand corner of that screen, just click on slideshow and start from the beginning, and it should go again. There's two programs that like to take control of that computer once in a while, and I thought I killed both of them, but they evidently revived again. So. Paul said, "I believe God." That's a powerful statement. We hear people all the time saying, "Do you believe in God?" I believe in God. That's not what Paul said. What did he mean, "I believe God"? Let's look at the background. What's going on here? For 2 years, Paul's been in prison. He's been in prison first in Jerusalem and then in Caesarea for 2 years. He's on his way to Rome, where he'd been in prison for another 2 years. He has been bound over for Roman trial because he appealed to Caesar to keep the Jews from killing him. They were determined to get him out of their lives. Hardships, disappointments often drive people away from Christ. I deal with it almost every week. I have correspondence around the world with preachers and other Christians and people who aren't Christians. And how can I have faith in God? How can I do what God wants me to do? All these problems that are going on in my life. In the book of John, in chapter 6, Jesus looked at his disciples. He saw that many people were turning away from him and walking no more with him. And he turned to the 12 and he said, "You also going to go away?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got the words of life. We believe and we're sure that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a tremendous statement of faith. What a confession. Can you make that confession? Can you say, "We believe and are sure that you're the Christ"? Do you have that kind of confidence? If not, you need to do some serious soul searching. Because that's the kind of confidence that God sets forth as our example. We need to have that kind of confidence. The Apostle Paul had plenty of hardships in his life. He writes about them over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You start reading in verse number 24. Look at that long list. Paul said, "Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes." Say, we're in 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 24. You can find that slide, we'll be all on the same page here. All right? And if it's there, it ought to go from here. Look, he said, five times they lashed me with 39 stripes. I was beaten. I was stoned. I was shipwrecked. I was in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city and in the wilderness and in the sea, and in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, watchings, hunger, thirst, fastings, cold, nakedness. And on top of all that, that which comes on me daily, the care of all the churches. Care of all the churches. I hope we have the care of all the churches. And I pray we never have to go through all that other stuff. But even if we do, we have Paul as an example. We can keep our faith. We had that thing going just fine last night. Hey, something looks right. Something looks right. There we go. Let me catch up with it. Let me get it from here. Let me see if it'll work from here. There we go. Now we're going to get it. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. We're going to 2 Corinthians. There it is. Whoops, I went right past it. Look at that list of stuff. Look at that long list. Isn't that terrible? But Paul kept his faith. His faith was not weakened, as our text shows from where we began. You know, he had advised the ship's captain not to sail in the first place. Paul admonished them, don't go. But the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship instead of Paul. The captain rejected Paul's advice, possibly even by taking a poll of the seamen. What do y'all think, boys? Should we go or should we don't? Well, the seamen are, you know, big, hardy men. Oh, we can tackle anything. That water and wind are no problem to us. We're able seamen. We can get it done. So off they go. They didn't realize just what they were getting into. You know, who's going to want to take a prisoner's advice anyway over a bunch of experienced seamen and the guard over the prisoners, I suppose. But it didn't take long, and they were caught in a strong wind. They had to take down the sails. Eventually had to throw all the cargo into the sea. And you know, that was a cargo ship. It wasn't a passenger ship. These guys are just hitching a ride on a cargo boat. And they threw all the cargo to lighten the ship so it would ride higher in the water and the waves wouldn't crash over and sink the ship. The crew had lost all hope of ever being saved. And they're out here in this storm. And Paul says, hang in there, guys. I believe God.
That's right.
I believe God. God said you ain't going to die. I believe God. Now get this picture, okay? Here's a preacher. What does he know about sailing, seamanship? And there's all these experienced sailors on this ship. We're going to die. Tear down the sails. Throw out the cargo. We're going to die. No, you ain't. Because God said so.
Amen.
Yeah, well, who's God? You know, these bunch of heathen seamen. But Paul stood in the face of all those heathen and he said, I believe God.
Amen.
You believe God? Do you believe God like that? How much do you believe God? You know, many people believe God when it suits them. They believe God when it's convenient.
Right.
They believe God when he agrees with them, as they would think it. When it doesn't interfere with my own lifestyle. You know, God says I ought to be here on Sunday, so here I am on Sunday. Don't ask me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday where I am. I'm going to be at the beach or, you know, down at the club or off in the pool hall or somewhere, forgetting all about God. I believe God when it's convenient. Some folks believe God when it doesn't contradict what they already want to believe about God in the first place. You know, one man wrote a number of years ago, we all create God in our own image. And I suspect that's true with a great portion of the world, with a great portion of those who call themselves Christians in the first place. Can we pick and choose when to obey God? Many people believe God's promises, but they don't want to believe the conditions that God lays forth in order to receive the benefit of those promises. Which of God's commandments are optional? Go down through the Bible for me tonight and just mark off those, scratch out those that we don't really have to obey. The commands of God. Oh, I know there's promises and statements to people, but which commands to people living today don't apply to me and don't apply to you? How many do you suppose there are? Brethren, let me tell you something. I want you to think about this and I want you to remember this. You believe God all the time. Or you don't believe Him at all. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher, that's not fair. I believe him on Sunday. I believe him on Wednesday. I believe him in a gospel meeting when we're all assembled. That's my whole point. You believe him when? You see? You don't believe God then. You just come here because you want to, or because you don't want to get caught not being here. Right? You either believe God all the time, or you're judging God. And you're choosing when you want to admit that God is right. That's not believing God. Paul said, I believe God. Well, let's ask a couple of questions then. Why should you and I believe God? Now here again, I didn't say believe in God. That's a different thing altogether. I believe in God. That is, I believe that God exists. You know, you can turn on a whole lot of television and radio and listen to some of the music on the radio, and they're talking about God. They know there's a God somewhere. They'll define him in strange and funny ways, and they may laugh at him and mock him, but they believe that there's a God. Even atheists must believe there's a God. They spend a whole lot of time trying to prove there isn't. So, I mean, you know, why argue so much against somebody who doesn't exist? They must believe that he exists. They just don't want to hear it. Yeah, everybody believes there is a God. Maybe many folks maybe believe there's many gods. That's not the same thing, is it?
That's right.
Question is, do you believe God? Some people say, well, you know, I believe in God, but they don't believe in the inspiration of the Bible. They don't believe what Paul wrote. I'm speaking to you the words that the Holy Spirit chose, taught me to speak to you. Did Paul make up these words? Or did the Holy Spirit tell him what to write? Ram talked about how we interpret the Bible and all the different things that we study. And all that's good, that's right. I don't mean to belittle any of that. You know, we got to look at the context and the language and historical background sometimes. All that's right. But people want to argue over, what does inspiration mean? You know, there's another passage that is, to me, that's good enough. 1 Corinthians 2:13, we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you could be any more clear than that, but you know what? Paul was. Paul did get clear. Actually, we should say the Holy Spirit got clearer. Folks will say, well, the rules of the Bible don't apply to me, but did you see what Paul said? Where'd we get to? How'd we get down here? How did I get behind? There we are. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You know those verses. All Scripture. What was that first word? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now these students here will turn around and tell you folks, if you don't already know it, that comes from a single compound Greek word, has the funny pronunciation of theopneustos, and that just simply means it's all God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. What's that mean? It came right out of God's throat. The air moving over His vocal cords pronounced those words. All Scripture is spoken by God and written by men. And then what does He say? And it's profitable for doctrine, what you teach, for reproof, to show you how you wrong with what they teach. You don't match up, you know. Here's the truth and here's your life, kind of crossways. But it's also profitable for correction, to show you how to get your life back in sync with the Word of God, right? And then it's profitable for instruction in righteousness, and that just simply means, tell me how to stay here once I got it right. I don't want to have to keep going like this all the time, okay? I want to get in and stay in. Get me right with God and keep me here. How can I do that? Read the Bible.
Amen.
That's how you know what the truth is and see how far you are from it, how to get back to it, and then how to stay in it. It's all there. That's why I've said over and over again, I know I've said it at least twice since I've been here, the Bible is the operator's manual for the human life. Just like the book that came with the TV set or the toaster that you bought or the radio or the CD player or whatever it was. Every little thing you buy has got some kind of instruction book. So do you. It's called the Bible. And why? What good is all that? It's profitable for a doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Why? The end goal is so that the man of God may be perfect, or the American Standard says complete here. Throughly, or thoroughly, if you will, through and through, completely furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I just don't know how to get up and do that. Hey, it's profitable for good works. You want to know how to do the right thing, how to do the good thing? Open the book and read it. That's what it's there for. Wish we had time to go back and talk. Oh, I'd just love to spend some time with it just doing nothing but studying the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2 and verse 10, the book of Ephesians. We are created unto good works. You ever know that? You were saved in the first place so you could, not so you could sit on a padded pew a couple times a week. You were saved so that you could do good works for Jesus. How many good works have you done between Sundays lately? Is that define your life? There's a person who's out doing good works. You know how Luke defined Jesus in the book of Acts? Who went about doing good. Could they write that on your tombstone? Here's one who went about doing good. I don't know how you could write much better than that. That's what Christians are. That's what Christians are supposed to be doing all the time. I believe God. What if I don't believe God? What do you call a person who does not believe God? Not believing in God makes a person an atheist, doesn't it? I knew a preacher in South Georgia a number of years ago. In fact, he gave me the basics of this outline. I've reworked it several times over the years, but it all started with a conversation he and I had and a sermon that he had preached over the years. He said he knew a man who was a former atheist, had learned the truth, obeyed the gospel. But that brother in Christ, former atheist, told him, he said, "Half the members of the churches of Christ are atheists." You know, now scripturally that's not possible, okay? Because if you're a member of the church, it's because the Lord put you in it. And He don't put nobody in it who ain't saved from all that sin. All right? But what He meant was those folks that are sitting in our buildings where the sign out front says Church of Christ, half the folks in here are atheists. I hope that's not true here, you know, in Loras or anywhere else in South Carolina, for that matter, the United States or the rest of the world. But unfortunately, I know a few folks that I think it probably fits pretty well. But what had made this man an atheist, you see, was simply not believing the Bible. Right? And in his judgment, half the members of the church that he knew didn't really believe the Bible. They only obeyed the parts of it that they liked, that they found convenient. You know, for example, we go to Hebrews chapter 10. We all familiar with that passage. Verse number 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another." How many people do you know who don't believe that passage of Scripture? I don't believe I have to be in every assembly. Some of you older folks will remember the Theophilus cartoons written by Brother West out in Texas a number of years ago. One of them sticks in my mind. I wish I had a copy of it and just flash it up here on the screen. There's this lady, she's all done up, you know, dressed to the nines, the hair like this, and the jewels hanging everywhere. And she's walking around just a strutting through, and she stops and talks to Theophilus, who's the friend of God. Well, that's a Greek word, just means friend of God. He's always preaching the Bible everywhere he goes. And she says, "Do you mean I have to go to every assembly of the church?" And Theophilus in the next picture, you know, it's a little cartoon strip, about three or four frames there. Theophilus is standing there like, huh? He got question marks all over his head. And then the next frame he's saying, "I never knew a Christian who wanted to skip any of them. I never knew a Christian who wanted to skip an assembly of the church." Why would you not want to be with God's people bowing down before the throne of Almighty God, thanking Him to high heaven for His mercy that took you out of all that muck and mire of sin that you wallowed in for all those years? Why wouldn't you want to be thankful for that? Shame on us for trying to find excuses to stay home when God's people are coming together to sing praises and to pray thanksgiving. Honor, worship of Almighty God in heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, His Son. But there are folks who want to pick and choose and say, "Well, that doesn't apply to me all the time." And then, of course, we've got to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we find folks who don't really believe that every week I've got to lay by in stores. God has prospered me. Some don't give every week. And, you know, I suppose if somebody's like on a monthly paycheck income, I can sort of understand that. But that's not really the point of this verse. The point of this verse is the last part of that. The last part that I've got marked there. As God has prospered him.
Yes.
What does that mean? It means God gave me this, and here's how thankful I am for it. I'm going to show him how thankful I am. I'm going to give this chunk back to him. We talked last night about Ananias and Sapphira, right? Had that piece of land, sold it, brought part of the money. Is that okay? Sure, bring part of the money. That's all right. But they lied about how much they gave. They wanted the glory of men. So they said, we sold our land and here's the money. You know, that implies that's all the money we got for it. It's okay to keep some back. God wants you to take care of your own responsibilities, and he who doesn't take care of his own family is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We don't want to be in that company. But as God has prospered him. You know, too many times we get our money and we pay our bills and then we have our fun, or we have our fun and then we struggle to pay our bills. or we have our fun. You know, some of the folks around us, I know you don't do this, but every preacher in here knows what I'm talking about. All the folks around us will get their money and they'll have the fun and then they'll call up the preacher and say, can you pay my electric bill? Right? Sure they do. But some of us will be just about like that, and we'll look in our wallet. Oh, here comes the plate. Let's see, what have I got left? Oh, God, here's a buck. You know, where's our heart? Do you believe God? And God said to give as you've been prospered. Let's look at another one. Acts chapter 4. You're not going to like this one any better. Acts chapter, this thing ain't moving, is it? I apologize for that. There's 1 Corinthians 16. Acts chapter 8, verse number 4. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Y'all quit preaching Christ in our town. We don't want that here. We're going to whip all of you. We're going to take you out and stone you. And they started scattering. And every Christian left Jerusalem except the 12 apostles. Today we expect the elders and the preachers to do all the work. The leaders stayed in town and the Christians, everybody else, went everywhere preaching the word. What is wrong with the church today? That we can't get people up out of the pews to go tell somebody about the joy and the glory of being in the presence of God and His children.
Amen.
Get us out there preaching the word. We were saved. What was it in 1 Corinthians, in Ephesians 2:10? What did he say? Created unto good works. Can you do anything better than preach the gospel, lead somebody out of sin and out of Satan's grasp and out of hell and puts them into heaven? Why aren't we preaching the word like we used to do, like God wants us to? Do you really believe God? So many of us make up our own rules and decide for ourselves what we want a Christian to be. Over here in 2 John, verse number 9, whoever abides not in the doctrine of Christ doesn't have God. And we got people today making up new doctrines. We got to have women leaders. We got to be clapping and swaying in worship. We got to be preaching this and preaching that and having, you know, all kinds of stuff that you couldn't find in the Bible with a
Amen.
Microscope because it ain't in there.
Amen.
We're making up stuff
because
we're no longer happy with what God said. We don't believe God.
Amen.
That we're going to be judged by the word that He gave. You know what Revelation chapter 20 says? What is it? Verse number 12? And the books were opened. Which books? These 66 right here. And the books were opened and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. You're going to be judged by this one day whether you like it or not. Whether you know it or not. Do you believe God? You better. Because the day's coming. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe God? Do we believe God, or do we only obey what we want to? Do we believe God, or do we only believe in God? You believe in God? You believe there's one God? You do well, that's good. But you know what? The devil does the same thing. What better are you than the devil if you only believe in God? That's scary. Amen. Last night we talked about getting a mirror, you know, looking in that mirror. We don't want to do that. I don't want to see me because I know what I am inside. God knows. And God sees. God knows how many hairs are growing out the top of your head. He does. Mm-hmm. He knows every thought in your heart. You can't hide from God.
Amen.
You can't. Do you believe God? You better. I believe God that He will care for His own folks. Hebrews chapter 1. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. And a little bit later he said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's that mean? What He was in the first century, nearly 2,000 years ago, He is today. He ain't changed. Why do we change? You know, it's like that couple I read about many years ago, driving along in the car. Here's Daddy, you know, he's tooling along, hands on the steering wheel, watching the road. And here's Mama sitting back over here, leaning against the door, looking at him, and all the space in between them. And she says, honey, how come it is when we was young people, we used to sit snuggling and close together and rubbing shoulders, driving down the road. And today, you know, here we are like this. What's happened to us? And he's driving along and he says, I ain't moved. Isn't that way we are with Jesus? He ain't moved. Amen. He's still at the steering wheel.
Yes, sir.
What are we sitting over yonder at the door for? Get back over here with your Lord.
Amen.
Get close to Him. Rub shoulders with Him. Learn from Him. Be like Him. Let some of it rub off on you. It won't hurt. It'll be good. It'll be fun. It'll be joy. It'll be peace. Maybe best of all, it will be hope.
Yes.
True, certain hope. Sometimes we just need the assurance of these things. Things that we have surely believed among us, as Luke wrote in chapter 1 of his gospel account. I want to write to you so that you could know the certainty of those things wherein you've been instructed. And Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, he said, be comforted. Be comforted with these words. You know, sometimes we sit in the pews and we listen to the preachers. And sometimes we feel like they're just slapping us in the face. You know, we talk about stepping on toes. Sometimes it feels a whole lot worse than that. You done bulldozed me over, preacher. But the words of God are supposed to be comforting. I know sometimes we shout. And I know sometimes we point fingers. And I know sometimes we frown. And sometimes we, you know, sometimes we look like we're looking daggers right through you. But the Word of God is quick. That means living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. What's he saying? The Word of God going to get right down inside of you and dissect you and see everything there is in you. God knows.
Amen. Yes.
And faithful gospel preachers just want you to know God loves you. And He wants you to be saved and He wants you to be His children. Do you look like God's children when you're walking around out there? Or do you look like Daddy's child and he was a drunk? You know, do you look like a child of the devil or a child of God when you're walking around between Sundays? Do you believe God all the time or just when it's convenient? I know some of you like Romans chapter 8 or the whole epistle of Romans, a favorite passage of Scripture. Paul says in verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love God. I keep moving my screen thinking it's moving yours. Sorry about that. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. To whom? To them that love God. You got trouble in your life? You better check your love meter. See if it's full. Is it registering up where it ought to be? Do you really love God like you're supposed to? Or is there something missing in your life? Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? I ain't moved. See? He's going to keep on loving us. Paul says, I'm persuaded neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other creature can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I know for some folks in the world that's a hard thing to believe. God just can't love me that much. I'm too bad. I've done too much. I'm too far away for too long. I mean, I used to even be one of His, and I've sullied His name, and I've just gone out back into the world. God surely can't love me. That's where we got a problem. Our God is too small. We just don't understand how good God is. Maybe to some folks that is hard to believe. It is hard to believe God. How could there be anybody who could be constantly perfect in love for even the worst sinners and could give complete, total, instantaneous mercy to that worst sinner when he turns around and repents? But he does.
Amen.
He's that kind of a God. Paul said, how could there be anybody worse than the chiefest of sinners? Listen, you ain't done nothing like Paul did.
Amen.
You didn't go into somebody's house and drag them out and put them in chains and haul them off to be executed just for being a Christian and then stand back and applaud while folks was throwing stones at them to kill them. You ain't done that.
Amen.
And Paul forgave, God forgave Paul. Don't you sit there and believe He can't forgive you. I won't.
Amen.
God's not willing that any should perish. Well, then why some going to hell? You ain't read the whole verse. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All you got to do is say, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to be me no more. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a true and faithful Christian. I want to be like Jesus. I want to turn my life around and do better and be better. And if you'll take that attitude, God will forgive you. You'll be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep what I've committed to Him against that day. What had Paul committed to God? He had committed his future, his eternity. When he went to Damascus, Jesus sent Ananias to him and said, you go down there and you baptize that man. Ananias got down to Saul of Tarsus, that was his name at that time. He says, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and 16. What's that mean, calling on the name of the Lord? We got people all over this town, all over this country, all over this world tonight. Telling folks that calling on the name of the Lord means all you got to say is, Lord, save me, and bang, you're saved. That is not what that says. That's not what it says. That's not what it means. You go read the rest of the book. Keep it in its context, as Brother Ram said a while ago. The context of that is the preaching of the gospel everywhere else. It's just one message. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. Romans chapter 4. You know that. What does it mean, calling on the name of the Lord? It means you do your part. Get up and be baptized. Trust in God to do His part.
Amen.
What's God's part? Save your soul.
Amen.
Forgive you of your sins. Trust God. That's what He's saying. You get up and be baptized. Trust in God. He's going to keep His promise. God don't lie.
That's right.
God don't never lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Paul to Titus and the Hebrew writer to all of us. It's impossible for God to lie. He said, I'll save your soul if you'll repent and be baptized. We can learn a lot by reading from the Psalms. I know it's part of the Old Testament, but it's so important for us today to understand what God put into the Psalms. In Psalm number 27, look at verse number 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my father and mother forsake me, then will the Lord take me up. The whole world might hate me. The folks I love the most in this world might turn away from me, might cast me out. But the Lord won't. He's going to love me anyway. Regardless what happens to me in the world, you know, I get a broken leg, I get a leg amputated. Or a leg and an arm, you know, or both legs. I have a bad accident and ruin my car. My house burns down. I go bankrupt. God still loves you. It ain't changed nothing. Well, how could there be a God if He lets all that happen? You miss the whole point. You're living in the devil's community. That's why that happens. God's calling you out of that. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean. Don't even touch it. And I'll be to you a father, and you'll be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God wants to give you something better than what's in this world. And if you believe God, that's the hope. You're heading towards something better. You ever drive? Well, some of you tell me Sunday morning, hey, sorry we're late, but we had to drive through deep water and it slowed us down. Sometimes we're driving in life through deep water. But we won't always be. We'll find higher ground pretty soon. We'll be out of that. We'll be tooling along just smooth as you please in a little bit. So we're going through life and we're driving through some deep water. All of life is some deep water. You know, it's lightning popping all around, wind blowing us off the road. But keep your eye on that goal. Keep looking down that road. And one day all this is going to be behind us. All the aches and pains and wrinkles and gray hair and no hair and all the other stuff, you know. It's going to all be gone. And there we're going to be standing on streets of gold like pure glass. We're going to be standing there listening to angels singing, seeing God on that beautiful throne, having a chance to join our voices in and sing with Him. Not in my voice. Oh yeah, then you're going to have a new body. You're going to have a new voice. It's going to be, you ain't going to have none of the problems you got today. Amen. That's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. God doesn't promise anybody a life free from hardships and trouble. You know, all sunshine makes a desert. Ain't no fun in that. You can't get too much for sand, you know. We don't want necessarily to expect to be a complete trouble-free life in this world. But He does promise us strength to bear whatever comes our way. And we can see that as what Paul wrote to our brothers and sisters in the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. God's faithful. God is faithful. What does that mean? Full of faith. He's trustworthy all the time. He's full of trustworthiness. He ain't never going to forsake you. And He won't suffer you to be tempted. That is permit. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. Whatever comes your way, you can get through it. Because God is there. You believe God? He promised. God does promise a reward that'll make the journey more worthwhile. You can see that back in Romans chapter 8 again. Look down at verse number 18, if you will. Romans 8 and verse 18. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's almost frightening. That's awesome. What is it going to be? It doth not appear what we shall be. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to have a glorious body. He's going to change this old vile body into something new and glorious. And we don't know what it's going to look like. But His promise is enough to sustain us. It's going to be better. It's certainly something to look forward to. It's going to be a great life in heaven. Believe God. Believe God even in the troublesome times, even in the difficulties of life. I believe God that the wicked will not go unpunished. Numbers chapter 14, the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. Don't you think of it? There's no excuse. There's no exceptions. It ain't going to happen. The guilty are going to be punished. Well, I thought you said if I repented, God would forgive me. Oh, well, that's a different story, isn't it? You ain't guilty no more. When you repent and you obey the gospel, God wipes all that away. He takes it off the record. You know, sometimes a young man, the first time he's picked up for doing some kind of mischief, and the judge will say, well, son, let me give you a warning. I'm going to wipe this off your record. You won't have no record when you leave my courtroom. But don't you come back in here again, right? That's what God says. We come through Him, come through Jesus Christ to Him. He just wipes it off the record. Somebody said justified, means just as if I had never sinned, and that's the way we stand before God. You know, he forgot it. We never will. You know, the human brain is just something that mind just keeps working on. Sometimes it'll annoy us no end, but just be patient with yourself and trust God. Believe God. He's going to forgive you. He's going to forget all about it, and He's going to make life better after a while. The righteous have always been puzzled at the apparent prosperity of the wicked and the unfaithful, but Paul the Apostle wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse 7, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, chapter 12, that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Sometimes you just want to grab somebody by the throat and just wring his neck, you know, but don't do that. God's going to take care of that. Just be patient. God promised. Do you believe God? Be patient with God. Be patient with yourself. God's going to have His way. You know, all things work together for good. Something good going to come out of all the trouble you're facing today. Something will. Probably the first thing is you're going to be stronger. You're going to turn around and look back and say, wow, I got through that. Ain't I great? You know? Or ain't God great? Which is hopefully the answer you're going to give. But we can, because God promised it's going to be that way. And I believe God too, that good will not go unrewarded. Listen to me now. People say, what's the use, preacher? Nobody notices. Nobody cares what I'm doing. Nobody else is doing right, so why should I bother? Or the one that you used to your mama when you were about that high. Well, everybody else is doing it. Why can't I? You know? Did mama listen to that? You know what? Your mama probably said the same thing mine did. If everybody else jumped in the lake, would you want to jump in after them? You know? Well, yeah, maybe in the summertime. You know? Might be a good thing to do. And if you said that, mama slapped you across the room, probably. Back in them days, you could get away with that. And that's why some of the older folks turned out the way they are. Some of our younger folks coming along today ain't had no discipline, and we get in a world of mess in this trouble. But the Lord will teach us how to discipline ourselves, straighten our lives up, if we'll just come to Him. Now the good will never go unrewarded. You know what the Hebrews writer said? That God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you believe God? Believe it. God said it. We said last night, God said it. That's it. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So what do I have to do if I want a better life? Well, diligently seek Him. And that's the problem, isn't it? We want the end result. We're not quite so committed to doing what it takes to get there. Diligently seek Him. Well, I found God already. He's right here in the Bible. I know all about that. I go to church. Yeah, but are you keeping on every day looking for God in this situation? Looking for God's answer in that problem of life? Looking for how to rejoice in the good things that come along? Are you seeking God diligently in everything in your life? Do you believe God? I believe God. I believe that the preaching of the Word of God will bring good results. Human nature says, oh, quit that preaching. Nobody's listening anyway. Look at all these empty seats over here. You know what? Look at all the seats that ain't empty.
That's right. Amen.
Look at all the seats that were empty last night that ain't empty tonight. Thank you, brethren, for being here. We appreciate you. If there's one person shows up tomorrow night, I'm going to preach the gospel.
Amen.
I promise you, I'm going to preach the gospel. Because somebody came wanting to hear it, wanting to be encouraged, wanting to know that there is a God in heaven. He's got an answer for my life. Keep on preaching. Since I believe God, then I must believe what the Holy Spirit has revealed about the preaching of the gospel. God says in Isaiah 55, way back 700 years before Jesus ever came along, So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Why did God send the word into the world? So that souls could be saved. Well, the word is in the world, and souls are going to be saved whether you preach it or don't.
Amen.
You might as well just get on board and just start preaching it. Just start telling folks. I wonder how many more people could be in heaven. How many fewer people could be in hell? Or maybe let's put it this way. How many people that you know could escape the fiery torments of hell if you just tell them about Jesus Christ? Just invite them to come and hear. You got an empty seat in your car? Fill it up tomorrow night. Bring somebody here to hear about Jesus, to hear about the hope that we have in Almighty God. All the people in the New Testament were saved after they heard gospel preaching. I want to run through some verses with you. Look with me in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God has but one power to save men.
That's right.
There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, just as there's one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. Again, Ephesians chapter 4. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why be ashamed of the gospel? The Almighty Creator of the universe said, here's a book by which people can get into heaven. You know, when the angel appeared to Cornelius, he said, you send for Peter, look at this, who shall tell thee words whereby thou shalt be saved. Wow! What a powerful sentence that is. And so many people are up preaching. You got to have an experience, you know. You got to wait for the Holy Spirit to move you. And people sit in some of those pews and they say, he just ain't moving me. I guess I can't be saved. Mm-hmm. People are lost and going to hell because they've been given false expectations.
Amen.
Words, the words of God will save your soul. Oh, not just because you read them or heard them, but because you put them into your life. You believe them and you obey them. You're going to hear the words, and that's going to open the door to lead you down the steps. It's going to bring you to salvation. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Turn away from your sins. Confess your faith in Him and be buried by baptism into Him so that you can be born out of that water a new life in Jesus Christ. Look at these passages. Look what we see in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. They that gladly received His word were baptized. I think we're going to have to put some of those new batteries in this thing in the morning. I think it's dying. Why don't you reach up there and hit that. Just sit over there beside that thing and slap that down arrow about every 3 seconds. Just sit on the other side. Go around. Just go around. Just use your finger on that down arrow. Don't mess with that mouse. And don't stand in front of it. Sit down. Sit down beside it or something. Don't block the screen. Can we get a bigger guy up here so we don't block the screen? Just use the down arrow on the keyboard. That's on the keyboard. That's over to right. Just a down arrow there. There you go. Acts chapter, whatever, where we go? Don't get ahead of me. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, they gladly received the word and were baptized. In Acts chapter 8, they heard the preaching of Philip. And I'm going to go so fast he can't keep up with me. They heard the preaching of Philip and they were baptized, both men and women. Still in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch heard Philip preach Jesus and he was baptized. In chapter 16 of Acts, verses 31 to 34, the jailer was taught by Paul and Silas and he was baptized that same hour of the night with all of his household. In chapter 18 in the book of Acts, the Corinthians hear believed and were baptized. In chapter 22 and verse number 16, Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, get up, arise, and be baptized, and wash away your sins. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 if you can catch up with me there. I promise you all those verses are in the Scriptures. If you didn't see them going by, you just go back and look at them again. Let me see if those things working now. Yes, it's working now. Where are we here? Acts 2 and 41. Whoops, we're too far ahead. Let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. You just saw the end. This ain't the end. Okay? Let me back up a little bit. Where'd we get to? I can't read it. 22 and 16. All right. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21. What did Peter say? All those who are baptized into Jesus Christ are saved. Baptism doth also now save us. There's no magic in the water. There's no magic in the preacher's hands. There's no magic in you going down and coming up. There's no magic anywhere. There's simply the promise of God. If you do what I ask, I will save you. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He's going to do His part if you'll just do your part. Do you believe God? Somebody's going to walk out of here tonight still not believing, still not trusting God, and it breaks my heart. Don't be that one. Why don't you make it up in your mind, I ain't going to be that one. I've seen it in the book. I've heard it. I've heard it over and over in my life. You know, I like to study the presidents of the United States. I've got a pretty good collection of biographies of presidents. One of my favorite lines out of all the books I've got on the presidents comes from Ulysses S. Grant. And I'm going to have to go look it up one day because I use this illustration all the time and I've forgotten the teacher's name. But I'm just going to say what I always say. He said, you know, back there when I was in elementary school, Miss Minnie Lee Jones told me enough time over and over again, a noun is the name of a thing. That, you know, I partly came to believe her. If you hear it over and over and over again, eventually you're going to come to believe it. And that's why some of y'all believe the error, the heresy, the false doctrine that you got stuck in your head. You heard it too many times.
Amen.
But how many times have you heard the gospel of Christ?
Amen.
You've heard it tonight. And I don't suppose it's the first time you've ever heard it. When are you going to believe it? When are you going to believe that God is and that He is a faithful rewarder of them that diligently seek Him? And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? How much do you believe God? You know some folks who believe God when it suits them, when it's convenient, when it doesn't interfere with their own lifestyle. Some people believe God when He doesn't contradict what they already believe. Can we pick and choose what we want to believe of the Word of God? You either believe God all the time or you don't believe God at all. Do you believe God? If you do, will you obey Him tonight? Having heard of the purpose of gospel preaching, will you be baptized into Christ? Having considered the example of the faithful, will you repent for your disbelief and put God first in everything as you wear the name Christian? We don't have enough water here, but we got it close by. We'll baptize you into Christ if that's your need, but most of us here already have been. Here's my question to you. Have you believed God? Does your life reflect the fact that you believe God, or does your life tell another story? Do you need to repent and come to Him? He'll forgive you if you'll come right now while we stand and sing.